Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Monday, June 8th, 2015. And with me today, I have, who do I have today? I have Brian Chaffin. How are you, Brian?
I'm frazzled. It was a busy morning, lots of stuff going on, and, rock on.
Boy, howdy. I think frazzled is a great way to describe how the day's been so far. John Martellaro, how are you?
I am John, pleased as punch, Martellaro this morning and this afternoon.
That makes me very happy to hear. I like it when you're happy. I also like it when you're kind of upset about something because, well, either way, we end up getting really good stories out of you.
All delivered very dispassionately and evenly.
As John does.
Yes.
Cheers, brother.
The physicist in me.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that physicist is there.
But don't get me wound up. Don't get me wound up. That's dangerous, too.
I take that as a challenge. Yeah. Hey, so Brian and I both jumped into the frazzled camp because today was Apple's keynote presentation from their 2015 Worldwide Developer Conference. And there was a lot of news that came out of that event. I think boy howdy is an appropriate exclamation yet again.
It's pretty rocking and rolling keynote.
Yes, indeed. So, but before we get into our thoughts and reactions on the keynote, we should talk a little bit about our sponsor. And our sponsor, yes, our sponsor this week is Casper, the company that makes the amazingly awesome mattresses. Speaking of rocking, I've been using a Casper mattress for several months now. And
as have I.
That's right. Yep, we both have their mattresses, and man, I just love mine. This is like the best bed I have ever had. It's absolutely wonderful. So if you're not familiar with their mattresses, then that means that I better educate you. So what they do is they take two different types of foam and layer them together so that you get a mattress that can conform to your body but has enough support so that you don't sink into it and end up in this like latex cocoon, which absolutely sucks. I just don't like mattresses like that. This gives you the right amount of support and conforms to your body in just the right way, so it feels comfortable when you're in bed and you don't overheat. And it's just absolutely wonderful. The construction is amazing, and I look for stuff like that. I pay attention to the stitching. I pay attention to the seams. And the way they put these beds together, it met with my critical eye in a good way. So that's a very good thing. And the mattresses that they make, they're able to sell at prices that are much lower than their competition because Casper doesn't have to maintain the overhead expenses that go along with having stores around the country, extra inventory to keep in those stores. So what you do is you go online, you buy your mattress from them, they ship it to you in a box that I'm certain is made from Time Lord technology because it is bigger on the inside. And you pull your mattress out of the box, it springs out to full size, you throw it on your bed, put your sheets on, and you're done. That's it. And it's amazing. It is magical. Absolutely wonderful. So how much lower are the prices? Well, the mattress I have, the queen size, is $850. And a comparable mattress would be over $1,000 if you went into your local quality mattress retailer. But it gets even better because you can get a discount. You can get $50 off, which is so great. So what you do is you go to their website, casper.com/TDO, and then use the discount code TDO. That gets you $50 off, plus you're not going to pay shipping on your mattress. So go check them out. Absolutely wonderful mattresses. I am so pleased with mine. I'm glad Casper is our sponsor this week. So, go get yourself a mattress. Casper.com/TDO. Use the discount code TDO. Start sleeping better right away because, hey, you deserve it. Okay, now we can jump in to our thoughts on the WWDC keynote. And I'll start by saying, overall, I thought it was a good keynote. And there were points where it felt like it was just a little rough, but I'm assuming that's because people just weren't totally comfortable, like they hadn't rehearsed enough. But overall, I thought it was a pretty good event. How about you guys?
Yeah, I'm not going to – the content was so good, I don't really care about the presentation. It was better than every other company's presentation has ever been ever.
That's true.
So, you know, wasn't up to a Steve Jobs event, but it was actually pretty good. And like I said, the content is, I think, what was important. iOS 9 looks amazing. El Capitan, that's the new version of OS 10, looks amazing. News looks really, really interesting. Apple Music is just could be intriguing. Apple could really have something with Apple Music.
Yes. Yes. And then we have the other announcements that were part of the whole mix, like Swift is going open source. It's Apple's software development environment. And then we have native app support for Apple Watch coming. So, yeah, there was a lot of really good, really, really big announcements.
My reaction, Jeff, was that, you know, Apple seems to be able to be so well grounded in the things that we need instead of fanciful and off track and things that you groan about. They're so well grounded. And yet, given that, they make fabulous extensions and improvements and make us happy about the things that we're well grounded in, which kind of combines to get us all jazzed up about what we're actually about the business of doing, which is a good thing. And that's Apple's very good at doing that in the keynotes.
Yes, yes, they are. Apple knows how to put on a show. And I know they get that. There's a couple times during the event when Tim Cook and Craig Federighi both were referring to the event as it happened. And instead of saying the keynote, they called it the show.
It is a show. It is a show. Yeah, absolutely.
It's totally a show. But it was a show that had a lot of good content in it.
Yeah, well, let's dig into that. I think that's what's important here. Let's look at El Capitan.
Oh, yes. I'm so excited.
Why? All right, John, what are you excited about?
I'm excited about the discipline and the restraint in Craig Federighi's presentation. There was a lot to cover, and Apple could have gone, you know, crazy with El Capitan in features like they have in the past with Mavericks and Yosemite. And yet, because there was so much to draw upon and so many good things happening, it was no great dramatic loss that Craig presented us with a better user interface, better way to handle Windows, and performance improvements based on Metal. And the presentation was short and it was sweet, and it showed that Apple's paying attention and listening to its customers and hasn't gotten too big to listen, and is doing what everybody seems to have been calling out for, and that is a refinement. As you used in your title, Jeff, we needed a refined OS with better attention to user interface. Performance gains are always helpful. I'm planning to do a clean install of El Capitan, and I'm betting that it's going to be great.
Well, okay, let's talk about some things where, like, Apple continues to bypass Google. You know, all the stuff you can do with Siri and search. I'm sorry, with Spotlight and search is Apple is taking the fight to Google by continuing to leapfrog basic search. That said, I still think Apple will do a dedicated search engine at some point.
It certainly didn't happen today, but I think it's I'm with you. I think it's coming. I don't know how soon, but I think it's coming.
Let me lay something on you, Brian. I'm currently writing an article about my observations about El Capitan. You notice in iOS, there's an app for every little thing. There's an app for every little element of your life, for weather. There's 1.5 million of them. And so every little thing that you can do, there's an app. But in OS X, it's different. You have major apps for doing very focused things. And then Spotlight kind of gathers together the little things of your life, you know, the time and the weather and the sports and the lookups and the.
Well, that's the case in iOS 9 too, yeah. Though. iOS 9, you know, they're almost calling it Siri. I don't, or well, I guess technically the name's going to be Proactive. Was it proactivity or proactive? Did you guys catch that?
Proactive is the word.
Okay, yeah. For sure. All right. So when you're not cleansing your skin of acne-producing things, you can also be on top of your life with proactive. And so, I mean, it's proactive that's gathering all that stuff about your life, and it's definitely a system-level OS kind of thing, whereas Spotlight, I guess Spotlight is doing that in El Capitan.
Yeah,
but to a lesser extent.
Apple gets to do these services that kind of pull things together as opposed to trying to piecemeal little things that developers often do, which is okay when the developer needs to do something specific, like, you know, a radar app for weather. But Apple's taken the leadership on kind of like bringing your computing life together.
Apple is not taking leadership on this. Apple's playing catch up to Google now.
Next generation digital hub, so to speak.
Apple is playing catch up to Google now. Google now is so Google now today is ahead of where Proactive will be when it's released. I think that Google is the company that's really taking the lead and sort of bringing all this stuff together.
Yeah, but if you're a little bit concerned maybe about how Google is handling your search information, then Apple has some good stuff.
Sure, but that doesn't mean they're in the lead. Brian, I'm with you on this. I think Google is totally in the lead with this whole I'm using the term proactive not as a product name, but yes, as an adjective. Google is proactively going after what users want with Google Now,
but
better than iOS does.
To John's point, there's a price you're paying. You know, the Google is all up in your business, literally.
Yes, they are.
In order to produce Google Now. As a matter of fact, Google Now is the payoff for Google having been up in your business now for years and years. And that is great. And Apple, you know, I don't know that Apple will ever be able to truly match everything Google can do with Google Now because Google is up in your business and Apple isn't. For instance, Apple very specifically said that your personalized data, the stuff about proactive that is particular to you, is going to remain on the device. It's not going to Apple servers. It's not being parsed by Apple. It's not being collected by Apple. It's not being sold by Apple.
Which is something that I was wondering about, and it turns out, yep, that's exactly what they're going to do.
Yep,
and but it limits what they can do.
It does limit what they can do. There's a trade-off. It's a trade-off, and reasonable people can choose either side of that trade-off. Reasonable people can decide to sell their soul to Google and let Google turn around and resell that soul to every Tom, Dick, and Harry out there because they want all the things that Google can do, especially through something like Google Now. Whereas other reasonable people, like probably the three of us, can choose to not have a company that's all up in our business and get some pretty good services.
Yeah, it helps simplify your life too, because if you have peace of mind, you can relax, you can do things, you can just get your job done, just get your information. You don't have to be constantly having a little guy on your shoulder saying, what are you doing? Why are you doing it? What's going to be the impact?
Well, you know, John, the interesting thing about that is, like, this was something that Jeff and I talked about in the last Apple Context Machine. Talking about my friend who is very, very inculcated into the Google Now thing. He looked up a band on the Googles, and, you know, 3-4 months later, that band is coming into town, and without him doing a thing, Google Now says, this band is coming to town. That's very, very useful. It's extremely useful.
And it's really cool, yet a little scary, but really cool.
And it's really cool, but it's something that Apple can't do.
Right. Not unless they want to get all up in our business like Google.
Right. Apple can tell us that we need to leave now because traffic's heavy. That is also cool. That was one of the very first things that really stood out for me for Google Now on Android. And Apple can, you know, look at where you're going. Hopefully it's going to be paying attention to where you go on a regular basis like Google Now does, which is something that Apple can actually take note of.
Yes.
Well, Brian, there was a long pause there on my part a little while ago because I was thinking about what Tim Cook was talking about control. I would like to be able to say, this is a class of information that I want to be have interrelated. I want to be in control. I want to be expecting these kinds of notices to come up and helpful proactive services to come up. But when it comes up unexpected kind of way, as Jeff said, it's kind of surprising, a little creepy. And you say to yourself, how far does this go? It's open-ended. And you wonder, you know, what the extent of the nature is. So if you can say, I want to have control over this and decide what gets handled the way, then when it happens, you go, oh, yeah, I want that. I expected that. I'm in control of that.
I think most people don't care.
Yeah.
I do.
Well,
it's just me.
We aren't most people.
Yeah, the three of us do, but I think we're outside the bell curve. I mean, don't get me wrong. A lot of our listeners care. I think a lot of Apple's customers care. Apple is beginning to make this more and more of a selling point. It was mentioned several times during the keynote. It was actually mentioned in some of the press releases today. You know about how privacy is the Apple's is not in the business of brokering your data, that sort of thing. And you know, hopefully, as Apple continues to try to wake people up to this stuff and make this issue a selling point, even more people will care. But for now, we are out. We're on the, you know, that outside
of the outliers.
The outliers. That's it. That's the word.
Yeah. And that's okay. I'm okay with where we are. And I know eventually there will be more people that join us. And that means over time, more people will be more concerned about what's happening with their personal information. But in the meantime, Google's going to be able to do more with Google Now than Apple's going to be able to do with Proactive Assistant.
It's true, but I'm really excited about Proactive. I'm really excited by it. This is going to get me to install a developer release of iOS 9 much earlier than I normally would.
Me too.
Looks amazing. There's a lot of information there on your phone that is not connected very well. And I'm incredibly pleased with the iOS 9 presentation, too, as well. It's going to make life a lot better for us.
I also like that Siri search APIs are going to be open to third-party developers.
Yeah, lots of things are open to yes. developers.
And you were about to say something, and I just kept talking, Brian.
Well, I stopped talking because I was interrupting you, but I was simply going to ask, I don't know how much time we have left, but we haven't even touched watchOS 2.
No, we haven't touched watchOS 2, and we really need to. Yeah, we only have a couple minutes left, so let's talk some about that.
Fixing a lot of stuff that was not ready to go out of the box, and it's good.
Yes. I like that the watch faces are being opened up to third-party developers, which means we're going to have a lot more that we can put on our watch face compared to what we have today.
Hear that, Dave?
Yeah. So that means new complications for the watch face.
Mm-hmm.
I liked that. Better Siri support. I like that.
Siri's better. Native apps is huge.
Native apps
third-party apps is huge. Access to the microphone, good stuff. Playing video, good stuff. Access to health kit data, huge stuff. Integration into HomeKit, good stuff. There's a lot of really good things in Apple Watch. WatchOS 2.
And we knew this was coming, too, because there was a lot of discussion prior to WWDC about how the first Apple Watch compared to the first iPhone. And it was very primitive, and it didn't do a whole lot. And there were, you know, we had Web 2.0 apps, and we had Edge, and it was really kind of, you know, limited device. And then it got great, and then it got greater. And we all knew it was coming for watchOS. I didn't know it was coming this soon, though. I mean, there was a big dump on us.
It showed us now. It's not coming until the fall.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. All of these releases are coming this fall.
This is impressive and a dramatic amount of information on the watchOS 2. Amazing.
Yeah, we're going to be able to do a lot more from our watch than we could or than we can today. One thing that I am looking forward to, which really surprised me, is that I'll be able to reply to emails from my watch. And really surprised me in that I cared.
Because I'm not going to be doing email on my watch.
I'm not going to be doing much email for my watch, but there are certain times where I've gotten messages.
No. No, work. No, no.
Not you, but that's because you're a Luddite, John.
I use the appropriate device for the appropriate function.
And sometimes the watch is the appropriate device. Now, I found I prefer to do my text messaging from my watch now. And there have been a few times where I wanted to do a quick email reply that would have been easier from the watch, but then I postponed it because it would involve taking my phone out at a time when I didn't want to get my phone out of my pocket.
Yeah, I wanted to reply to Skype and Slack both. That will be coming with native apps and access to the microphone.
Yes, yes. And now you'll be able to play other types of audio through the built-in speaker, plus short video clips.
Yeah.
See, I kind of do this pyramid approach. You know, the Mac does certain large class of tasks, and then my iPhone has a more restricted set of tasks. For example, I don't do business email on my phone because it would overwhelm it, and I have the appropriate spam filtering and tools on my Mac. And so I don't get wound up trying to do business on my phone. And I think the same thing's going to happen with the watch. It's wonderful and all these new things are great, but I'm probably going to envision a more pyramid-y structure of what's going to happen on my watch. I have responded to text messages on my watch and I have taken phone calls on my watch and that was great.
John,
but I ain't going to be doing email on my watch, guys.
What's your take on adolescents trespassing on your yard?
Get off my lawn.
So, John, here's my visualization of my devices. I take the Avengers approach. So my laptop, my MacBook Pro, that's my Shield helicarrier. And then my iPhone is my Avengers Quinjet. And then my Apple Watch is Black Widow's motorcycle that drops out of the bottom so I can zip around the streets.
You're both nerds.
Yep.
Oh, wait, I'm a nerd. Exactly. I'm a different kind of nerd.
If you try to do everything on every device, you just get overwhelmed.
No, but there's a lot more we're going to be able to do on our Apple Watch without being a fool. Yeah,
that's the thing, John.
I'm looking forward to it.
Replying to text messages on your watch is actually the thing to do.
I've done that, and I found it very useful because I was sitting watching TV, and my iPhone was in the other room, and a very close friend texted me, and I was able to do one of the instant replies, and I thought, oh, this is excellent. So, but that doesn't keep me from having ideas about what device should be used for what, and being ruthless in controlling it. That's why at night my watch has about a 75% charge on it. I think I could go 3 days.
And you also have very specific ideas about children and their proximity to your grass.
That's right.
That's right.
Where they belong.
Hey, we're out of time. So,
good thing too.
Yeah,
just in time.
Just in time. So, anyhow, my overall impression with the WWDC keynote was positive. I really liked the news that Apple was giving us.
Yep. So it wasn't all. A lot of it did leak. News was about the only thing that didn't leak ahead of time. And some of the specifics about Apple Music, but yeah, thumbs up.
Yep, and we didn't get to talk about Apple Music today, but that's okay because it's on the list for tomorrow. And there will probably be more things from today that we decide are worth talking about tomorrow as well, so I'm really looking forward to that. Brian, thank you so much for joining me today.
Always fun, man.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
Yeah, and get off my lawn.
Yeah, I'm moving, old man. Jeez. Listeners, thank you for joining us today. It's always great to have you here. And head over to the Casper website, casper.com/TDO, and get yourself a mattress so that even though you can't sleep with me, you can sleep like me. Don't forget to use the discount code TDO. Get yourself $50 off, and you're going to have free shipping as well. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.